getting ready to leave. I believe we leaving time is at hand, and I believe it's even at the door, and we certainly better be ready. And that's the message that we have to a world, that they need to be ready for the coming of our Lord. And pray that we will be that faithful witness as we tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you might think you're in trouble tonight. I have a Bible here. I have a Bible here. I have a Bible here. Three Bibles. Don't usually do that, but I don't want to have to turn to a lot of different places back and forth. So I've got them open to where I'm going to be tonight. And so I may switch books every once in a while, but they're all the same one, just different in a different place. If you would tonight, take your Bibles, turn with me. We'll begin reading in Matthew chapter number 26. Matthew chapter number 26. And we'll be looking also throughout the night in Mark and also in John. Matthew chapter 26, verse number 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he set at meat. When his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? For this woman might have been sold for much and given to the poor." When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, or what this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her." You have the same account given in the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 14. It reads a little bit different, not a whole lot, but in Mark chapter number 14, verse number 2, basically the same thing. At Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there was a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, spikenard very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head, and there were some that had indignation. Now, Matthew tells us it was the disciples, and here it says, some had indignation within themselves and said, "Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence that had been given to the poor," and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me, for ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, you may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could, and she is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, whithersoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." So there's a little bit different rendering of that in the Gospel of Mark. And we're not going to go to John's Gospel. It has a story that is very, very closely related. Some believe it is a synonymous message or the same account. Some believe it's a different account because, again, the Gospel of John gives a little bit different details. And it tells us there at the house of Bethany, the same location, but it talks about Martha, talks about Lazarus, and gives a little bit different details, and some believe that it's maybe not the same account. It really doesn't matter because it's all in the Scripture, and it gives us some details about some things that took place. Back a few weeks ago, I gave a message on what what Satan found in Job's house. Maybe it was last Wednesday, had a message on what Elijah found in the widow's house. Tonight I want us to look at what Jesus found at the leper's house. Simon the leper. He is certainly known as a leper. I believe he had been healed of that, maybe had been healed of by the Lord, because if he was leprous, according to the Jewish law, he could not be with anybody. He could not be around family. He could not be around friends. He could not have a gathering to come into his house. But he is known as Simon the leper. And when you read the New Testament, you'll find there are probably 9 or 10 different Simons that are mentioned in the Scripture. And this is one of them, and so you have to make sure you can keep them separated. But he is known as Simon the leper, sort of like Rahab is known as the harlot. It's a tag that is stays with them. Of course, Rahab, she had that particular sin in her life, but she trusted the Lord, but she was still known and is still called Rahab the harlot. In the New Testament, you also have another Simon called Simon the tanner. You have Lydia, the seller of purple. And so these terms that go along with some of the names just describes what they were or what they are. And here tonight in at least Matthew and Mark, we find Jesus coming to this man's house. He's known of as Simon the leper. And there's some things that took place in this gathering that the Lord found that I believe could be very very good for us to find, for the Lord to find in our homes and to find in our lives as we serve the Lord and as we try to tell people and witness to folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there are some things here in these verses and also in Mark, and we'll pull out some things from the Gospel of John also because it's so very closely related. Dr. Scofield and the Scofield Bible, he says they're all the same. I've read others that say and there are some differences in the readings that I'm not sure. But again, as I said, that really whether it's the same incident or not, it gives the same message and same connotation as to what we can find and what should be in our homes. Now, in John chapter 12, let's turn there, and we'll look tonight in this one passage that we have not looked at already. In John chapter 12. Verse number 1 and verse number 2. John 12, 1 and 2 says, Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, and there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. He sat at the table with the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing I wanted you to notice tonight, that this place that the supper was made, it was a place of fellowship. It was a place where you could come together and have fellowship around the table, not only the table of the Lord, but the table together, to meet together with family and friends, extended families. And I believe our homes ought to be to the point that people can come and have fellowship with us and enjoy the fellowship that we have one with another. My family pretty much is right here. And then, of course, my daughter lives away from here. And all my other family are already, most of them already gone on to heaven. And so you have a family that's close. You have a family that's our friends. You have loved ones. You have people that can be fellowshipping with you and can enjoy the good things of the Lord. And I believe as a child of God, we ought to make our home a place where people can know that we believe Christ, we serve Him, we live for Him, and it's a place of fellowship one with another. You know, not only do you come together for food, you come together for comfort, you come together for encouragement, and I'll tell you what, sometimes we just need to get along with folks and just have some encouragement one with another. Just to be a friend and to be that one that someone can lean upon. And I believe when you read these in Mark and also in John and in Matthew, you find that The scripture says that they came together and they had fellowship together. They sat at the table. John tells us that Lazarus, who had been raised from the dead, he sat at the table with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine the feeling that you would have if you was Lazarus and there you are sitting with the Lord Jesus Christ that has shown mercy and kindness upon you and raised you from the dead, and now you're able to sit down with him at a table of fellowship. You have Martha serving. You have Mary, all of them active and busy and serving and doing the things that people do because they love one another and they love the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a church family here, and we have our fellowships. We have our gathering times, and we have the times that we come together and bring our food in and just enjoy. But you know, there's sometimes that our fellowship ought not just be around food. It ought not be just around things, but sometimes it's the comfort of our heart. Sometimes it's just the words that folks would tell us, and the words that someone would say, "I'm praying for you," or "I've been thinking about you, I've been concerned about you," and just to have a friendship and to have a fellowship. And I believe every home ought to have that ability to share that with one another. And I believe Jesus found this at Simon the leper's home. And personally, more than likely, this man Simon had been healed by the Lord. The Lord did many healings as he went through different areas and different places. And Bethany really was a second home to the Lord. He was there many, many times and did many things in that particular town. And this man Simon, he opens his home, and these verses tell us here, as he does that, there is great fellowship together with that family and that place of rejoicing together. So you have family, you have friends. You're my extended family. You're people that maybe not blood kin as far as we're concerned that way, but we are family in the house of the Lord as believers in Christ, as brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are that extended family that we need, that the Lord can use to encourage us. In these months that I've gone through the struggle with my voice, I don't know how many people have said, "Brother Richardson, we're praying for you," and you don't know how that stirs your heart. And folks will say, "It's going to be okay. We know it's going to be well. We know it's." They knew more than I did, because I wasn't so assured of that at that time. And I've told Mike same thing. I said, "It gets better. The Lord has a plan, has a purpose. I don't know what it is. I have no idea why those things took place. But I know one thing: the Lord takes care of us while we're going through that, through our extended family, through our friends, through our loved ones, through our family members that are encouraging to us." And so I believe the Lord found in Simon's house, he may have been a leper. He was not now, because he could not have had this gathering together. He would have had to cry, "Unclean, unclean." They couldn't get anywhere around him because leprosy was such a dreaded, deadful disease of that day, probably comparable to cancer of this day. And so here is Simon. I'm sure his heart rejoiced. He was a leper, but now he's not. And he opens his door to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he opens his home, and there the Lord has fellowship. There the Lord has time together. And so Jesus was in Bethany, and he was in the house of Simon the leper. And while he's there, this great thing that this lady did upon the Lord comes to him, and Jesus said she'll be known from now on for what she did. She anointed his body for burying. And time frame here, the Lord was about a little over a week from the time of his crucifixion. And so we find it's a place of fellowship. It's a place of hospitality. You know, sometimes we go into different places, and there's a sign up over a building that says Hospitality House. You go in there and you find all the little trinkets and all the little brochures and all the things of that area where you are, and they're just trying to be friendly to you so you'll spend your money with them. I mean, that's really all it's, what it's about. And that's their hospitality. They're welcoming you. They're telling you, we want you here. We desire you here. And we have these little things for you so you can know where to go. Sometimes they'll have a map of the area and all the places. I've still got a map from up when we were with you all going through Amish country. And it has all those things. And you have the hospitality houses. I believe our houses that we live in ought to be places that's hospitable, friendly, open to folks to let them know we have something to offer them. We have something better than this world has to offer them. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the Son of God. We have the message of the Lord. We have the Word of God to tell them and to show them that there is a better way. They don't have to live the way they're living. They don't have to die the way they live. They can die a child of God and be born again by the Spirit of the Lord. So Jesus found in Simon the leper's home, he found fellowship. He found a place as hospitable to him, friendly to him, open to him. For he was there, and both of these, Mark and Matthew Gospels, tell us that he was there and he sat at meat. He was sitting at the table. He was sitting there filling his physical body with the physical food that was offered unto him. Not only that, but it is a place he found there at that home, a presentation of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ and the faith that we can have in him. Notice in Matthew 26 and verse number 7, and there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. Now, we think that's a strange occurrence. And here, this woman, and if Mr. Schofield's correct, this would be, according to John chapter number 12, this is where Mary came and put the ointment and poured it upon him. John says it's on his feet. Mark and Matthew says on his head. There's some of the differences that have to be explained. But wherever it is, this woman, whoever she was a woman that presented her faith that she trusted and she knew. And the Lord says, she is anointing my body aforetime or ahead of time unto the burial. She knew that the Lord was going to die. And I think she knew who he's going to die for and had already put that faith in her heart. So our houses ought to be a place of fellowship, a place of hospitality, a place of faith. When people go by our place, when people come to our home, they ought to know that we're people of faith. They ought to be able to look around the home and see Bibles and see things that show them that we are Christian, that we don't have to broadcast it. We don't have to put it in lights. But they know most of it by the way we live and the things we do, how we serve and how we act around other folks in a place of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Impossible to serve the Lord without faith. Faith is that which we cannot see. Faith, according to Hebrews, is a substance of things hoped for. I hope for the Lord to come. I have faith that he's coming. It's a hope that's built up in our hearts. So faith is that's that thing that we hope for. We find our presentation of faith should be in what the Lord does for us, a changed life. Simon the leper had a testimony. Lazarus had a testimony. Mary and Martha had a testimony. All through the New Testament, anywhere Jesus went, people had testimony of what he had done for them. You and I tonight, we have a testimony of what Christ has done for us. Now, he maybe hasn't healed us of leprosy, but he's done something far greater than that. He's healed us of our sin, sickness, and our sin that would bring us to eternity without God, without hope. And so we have a faith, a miracle of salvation, the miracle of God loving us and sending the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we are changed in our actions. A salvation that does not change you is not salvation. I believe that so very strongly. If it does not change your attitude, change your thought pattern, change your ways, change your habits, there's a change that takes place. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And that's a change. Now, some things change real quick. Some things change real slow. Some things need to change fast. Some things need to change slow. We need to grow in the grace of the Lord and let God speak to our heart and lead us along gently. And we'd be surprised what the Lord can do for us and how that he can help us. And so Jesus found in Simon the leper's home fellowship. He sat down and had a meal. He saw that the home was open to him and had hospitality. He sees the faith of this woman and expresses that so very much. He sees a performance of her love for him. What she did was very, very expensive. What she did was very, very precious. And it was a performance of love upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse 7 of Matthew 26, verses 3 through 9 in Mark. Let's look at Mark a minute. In Mark chapter number 14. We'll not read all these verses again. But the Bible says here that there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard. Very precious, it says. What makes something precious? Can somebody tell me that? What makes something precious as far as material things? Anybody? All right, it's rare. It means not a whole lot of it. Means it's very costly. Something that's precious, we call the gems and the stones precious stones. The diamonds, the rubies, the pearls. Those things are called precious stones because there's not a lot, and they're very costly, and they have the title precious. And this lady here, she put upon and anointed the Lord Jesus Christ, had this alabaster box. It's a box that carried the ointment. They didn't have the containers like we have. They carried it in an alabaster box and spikenard, an ointment. And then the scripture says, very precious. It wasn't just precious, it's very precious, very rare, very expensive. And so here is this love that is expressed unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And she takes this very precious ointment, she breaks the box and pours it on his head. There is that performance of love because of the faith that she had in the Son of God. You know, we will do things for people when we have faith in them. When we believe them and hold people as dear to us, we'll do things for them because we trust them, because we love them. Because we have faith in what they say. I heard someone talking today. I forget now where I was. A fellow said he bought something and just bought it on a handshake. And the guy said, well, that's very rare. You know what that is? That's very precious. You don't do that anymore. Our handshakes are not worth much anymore. And he said, I bought my house. Hey, before it was. He said, I bought my home. He said, I told the fellow I'd do so much, and I did what I said. We shook hands on it, and he said, when I did my part, he handed me the deed. And he said, there wasn't any papers signed other than the legal papers we had to have to transfer it over. He said, but it was all on a handshake. That's pretty precious in our day and time. And so it's because of a faith and a love that's expressed because of what we are to each other. And this lady, here she in Mark and Matthew, she's not named. And the Lord says she'll be remembered from now on because of what she did. John says Mary. I'm not convinced of the same play, the same incident. There's too many, for my hope, there's too many differences. But either case, what she did, Martha or Mary and John, she did the same thing. And this lady, what they did is because they were expressing their love and expressing their faith and their trust in that one that was sitting in that house of a used-to-be leper. And here these folks have come together in fellowship. Jesus found some very precious things in the home of Simon the leper. He found some things that's worth having. A lot of people have houses, but few people have homes. There's a difference. And here this man, he invites the Lord in, and he's there for fellowship. He's there for the meal and the hospitality and the faith that was shown to him and the performance of love that was performed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. She takes the alabaster box, she breaks it, and she puts the ointment upon the head of the Lord Jesus Christ, which revealed that he was going to die. But now you come to the rest of the story, you have the plot of the foes. Strange here who the foes are. It's an interesting study sometimes to find out how little faith the disciples had. You'll find that they're the ones always saying, Lord, we can't do this. Hadn't been too long ago, the feeding of the 5,000. They said, what's five loaves and two fish? What is that with this many people? Well, there's a whole lot when the Lord got finished with it. You'll find that it's the disciples that tell the little children, get away from the master. He don't have time for you. And the Lord said, let them come unto me. And then he tells us that we all come unto him like little children. And so we find the disciples sometimes are standing in the way. And here they are, a part of the foe. Look in Mark, got your Bible there, Mark chapter number 14. It says in verse number 4, there were some that had indignation. Now, we know what the word indignation means. They's angry. They were upset. They were mad. Probably the ringleader of it was Judas. He seemed to be most of the time when it came to money. He was the one that held the bag. Judas was the treasurer. He took care of the physical monies of the early church. And here they had indignation. Some had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? What a terrible statement. How can you waste anything on the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I've wasted my time. No, you haven't wasted your time serving God. Somebody said, well, I'm not going to waste my money doing this in the house of the Lord. You don't waste your money. I believe everything we do for the Lord is not it's not an expense, it's an investment. When we have our missions conference, I usually put up a sign, the investment in the world, because that's what it is. It's an investment upon missionaries and people that are willing to go to a far distant land and to preach the gospel. And here these that were there were so angry at what this woman did for upon the Lord. In Matthew chapter 26, verse number 8, same story. We find out in Mark it says some. In Matthew it tells us exactly who they are. They're the disciples. But when his, verse 8, when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Mark gives us how much it was worth. Gives you an amount. Why would we waste this much money on the head of Jesus Christ? Here's the disciples that the Lord has called and has done miracles in front of them, and he has performed all the miracles that we read about in the scripture. And John tells us that not the half has been told. John says that if everything was written down that Jesus did, that the world couldn't contain the volumes of the books of what he did. And here they are saying, why are we wasting that on him? They became foes unto the Lord. But the Bible says in verse 10, when Jesus understood it, he said to them. Now they are thinking in themselves or talking among themselves. But the Lord now, he makes this home a pulpit. He finds a place, not only of fellowship, not only of friendship and faith, a place of love, and the place of enemies and foes, but he finds that it's a place where he can preach. I believe our homes ought to be a place where we can preach. Or we may not take the scripture and open it, but when folks come, we can let them know about the Lord. And here in these verses, Jesus makes this statement. Why trouble ye the woman? The other place he says, let her alone. I don't believe the Lord spoke softly to those disciples. Leave her alone. What she has done a good work. And so he makes this a place to present what? His death. He tells them here, why trouble ye the woman, for she hath wrought a good work upon me. He tells them in Mark, he says, in verse 6, Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble her? She hath wrought a good work on me. You have the poor with you always, but you're not going to have me very much longer. You're not going to have me another week or so, a few days. And she has wrought a good work. And Jesus made this home a place of presenting the gospel. For he says, she hath poured this ointment on my body. She did it for my burial. And Jesus has told his disciples from the very first of calling them together, he has told them over and over and over again that he must die. And they don't believe it. They don't accept it. There's one place that Peter even says, not so, Lord. You're not. That's not going to happen. And he's told them over and over and over again. And now they are brought to the very fact that this woman whom they are refusing to accept and their indignation has risen against her. And Jesus says, leave her alone because she knows more than you do. She's anointed me to my burial. I'm going to die. What is the gospel tonight? It's the death, the burial. Praise the Lord. A week or so back, the resurrection. That's the gospel. And every home, Simon the leper's home, the Simon leprosy is a sign and is a type all the way through the scripture of sin. Simon the sinner. You know what? Didn't come to my home, it's Lawrence the sinner. Go to your home, it's Earl the sinner, or Mike the sinner, or Tom the sinner. Put your name there. That's who we are. That's what we are by nature. We're born in sin. We're born a recipient of a sinful nature. Not only do we have a nature, we do it by choice. We sin because we just want to. Sinners by nature, sinners by choice. Oh, but thank God one day Jesus can come by and he can heal our leprosy. He can take care of our needs. And he can sit down now and sup with us. He can sit down and have a meal with us. He can sit down and be welcomed in our home. That's what he found in Simon the leper's home. He found a place of faith. He found a place where love was poured upon him to his burial. He found a place that he could present himself to his unbelieving disciples, so weak in the faith that he said, she did a good thing. They were only interested in what it cost. You know, churches have a problem sometimes with what it costs. Sometimes people say, well, we can't do it. It just costs too much. If the Lord leads you to do it, it doesn't cost too much. Where the Lord leads, he provides. Well, what about all these places? Well, maybe the Lord didn't lead. But where God leads us, he takes care of us. And so the Lord tells these men here, he says, she's done a good thing, and she has done this for my burial. And then he says in verse 13 of Matthew 26, verily I say unto you, truly, the word verily means truly, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel, which one, Matthew's, which one, Mark's, which one, John, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world. Jesus sort of had faith that the Great Commission would come to pass, going to all the world, preach the gospel. And he says, when this gospel is preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman, I believe he pointed right at her, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. You know what we're doing tonight? We're telling of her memorial. Simon the leper is only mentioned two times in the scripture, in Matthew and Mark. We don't say too much, and really the story is not about Simon the leper. It's about this woman and Jesus. That's the story. That's the message. But it's in Simon's house, and Jesus found all these things. He made it possible. He had it, made it happen because he opened his house to the Lord Jesus Christ, who had healed him. We should open our homes, open our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he's done? He has healed us. He's made us new creatures in Christ Jesus. What Jesus found at Simon the leper's home, very precious. There's a precious ointment applied to the Lord, but the message is what he found in Simon's home, he ought to find in our home. Fellowship, faith, friendliness, love, and the gospel. Will there be people like these disciples that are enemies? Sure. There are those that despise what we believe. There are those that stand against where we stand. That's well and good, because the Lord says, I'll take what you do. I'll take your trust, your faith, and I'll preach the gospel. May God help us to do that in this generation in which we live. Let's stand together.